Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, where we're speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, November 16th, 2020. Today's program is dedicated to the more than 1,500 peaceful Iranians who were murdered by the government more than just a year ago today during the bloody November uprisings. It's been 1 year since the gas hikes in Iran that started the process, but then the Iranian people were not just protesting about suffering under debt and lack of money. They were protesting a horrible regime that has kept them suppressed for more than 40 years since the revolution. And I remember last year at this time, video after video I posted on my timeline to show Iranians in more than 70 cities across their country fighting for their freedom. It's been a year, and they're still locked in this desperate struggle for freedom. And what I want to do today, I want to dedicate this program to them. I want to read their stories from my newest book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. But before I do that, and before I talk to you about last year at this time, I want you to have a good idea of the timeline of events of what happened a year ago. And so I want us to take about 3 minutes and listen to this timeline of events during the November bloody uprisings.
What do we know about the Iran protests? With the internet there effectively shut down, it's been difficult to get a clear picture. DW has verified videos and information and compiled a summary of the events that have taken place there over the last week. Here's what you need to know about the unrest. Nationwide protests first erupted last Friday, after authorities rolled out a sudden petrol rationing scheme and slashed subsidies. This sent fuel prices soaring by at least 50%. Though Iran promises to redistribute the subsidy revenue to poorer people, it's nonetheless getting harder for ordinary Iranians to make ends meet. The U.S. decision in 2018 to withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal, reimpose sanctions, and choke off the last remaining sources of Tehran's oil revenue has crippled the Iranian economy. While the protests were triggered by Iran's worsening economic situation, people are also angry about corruption, poor living standards, and social inequality, and they've begun calling for a radical overhaul of the political system. Here we see demonstrators chanting "Bless Reza Shah Soul," referring to Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the last Shah or King of Iran, known for his efforts to modernize Iran before its 1979 Islamic Revolution. protests have spread to cities and towns across the country. Posters and buildings associated with Iran's supreme leader have been burned. Theological college was set on fire, as were multiple police stations and cars in various cities. Banks and gas stations have also been set alight. Amnesty International says that so far, at least 106 people have been killed.
We believe that the real number may be much higher, given that there is now a total or a near total block on access to the internet, and many are not able to communicate information about the loss of their loved ones. We have also obtained eyewitness accounts and corroborated video footage that came from inside Iran, which shows security forces are using live ammunition and tear gas and water cannons to violently disperse protesters. So all in all, a very severe and bloody crackdown on people who are coming to the streets or taking into the streets to express their political and economic grievance.
This has been the worst unrest in Iran since late 2017. In recent days, both Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, and a judiciary spokesman have claimed that calm has been restored in the country. Rouhani blames the protests on the country's, quote, foreign enemies.
That is a brief vignette of the timelines of events. This year, the Iranian people are facing the devastated COVID-19 virus with the rest of the world. But a year ago, they stood up against this oppressive regime. And I want to read to you from my book, Shout Freedom, an article. It's a dedication to the 1,500 peaceful protesters murdered. Remember, what they did is they shut down the internet to stop all communication back and forth between Iranians. But the main reason they shut it down was to hide from the world what they were about to do. And so what I want to do is I want to remember these 1,500 innocent, peaceful protesters murdered by the Iranian regime 1 year ago. It's an article from my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. It's entitled, Like Lambs to the Slaughter. Innocent lives. Can we stand by and let these people die? Everybody stand up, stand up, stand up. Lambs to slaughter, sons and daughters, tears are fallen. We haven't forgotten you. A song by Sonic Bell. Friday, November 15th, 2019 is a day that Iranians will not soon forget. The government announced that it was hiking the gas prices by more than 200%. The new fuel tax outraged Iranians who were already struggling to make ends meet in a desperate economic situation burdened by the U.S. sanctions. Refusing to comply with the oppressive new regulations, Iranians took to the streets in massive protest across 200 cities and towns, demanding their rights and confronting the sins of the regime, shouting, "Death to the dictator!" Supreme Leader Al-Khamenei summoned his inner circle after watching the massive uprising and gave a stern command to them. The Islamic Republic is in danger. Do whatever it takes to end it. You have my order. What transpired after the Supreme Leader's command resulted in one of the bloodiest episodes since the Islamic Revolution of 1979. In order to conceal their savagery, the government shut down the internet nationwide to confuse the protesters and hide from the world the evil they were about to do. The Iran Revolutionary Guard descended upon the innocent, peaceful protesters, intending to crush the result, and began shooting them in the head and the heart. In the end, after two bloody and violent weeks, over 1,500 Iranians lay dead in the streets and hospital beds, 17 of them young teenagers, and 400 of them women. Over 4,000 had been wounded and 7,000 arrested. The IRGC had successfully carried out the direct orders of the supreme leader, sparing no mercy. Bodies of protesters were later found floating in rivers while the wounded lay critically injured in hospital bed, some snatched up by security forces and immediately dragged away to prison. After the internet was finally restored, the world saw shocking videos of the military perched high above the roofs of apartment buildings and shooting directly into the crowds of peaceful protesters. Families of the victim were denied access to their loved ones' bodies and were told by security that they must first to the bullets that had killed their sons or daughters. Supreme Leader Khamenei described the protesters, quote, as thugs and hooligans, while Assembly of Experts official Ahmad Khatami, speaking at a Friday prayer on November 22nd, called them, quote, saboteurs waging war against God, declaring that execution by hanging for the leaders of the riots are certain. The innocent protesters, discouraged and despaired over the economic chaos, had taken to the streets, most of them in a peaceful manner, simply to let their voices be heard, demanding relief from the oppressive tax hikes. Some of the protesters were unfortunately caught in the line of fire while performing acts of kindness. One such victim was 34-year-old Amini Shabazi, a housewife and mother residing in the city of Karaj. Amina left home on Sunday, November 17th, to buy medicine, only to be thrust into the chaos of the protest. She noticed a man near her had been shot and immediately responded to give him first aid. Removing her hijab, Amina began wrapping it around his wounded leg when suddenly she was shot in the back of the head. Her body was withheld from her family for 2 days until they agreed that no special ceremonies would be performed at the graveside and no interviews given to the media. We had been engaged for 3 days. They were the best days of my life. We were to marry on January 16, but they took my Misum away from me. I wish that I was dead too. A devastated and tearful Samia Sherdell will never experience the joy of that special wedding day. The IRGC made sure of that. Misum was shot in the abdomen on Saturday, November 16th, in Karaj City, near Tehran, on his way home from work. Samia last spoke to her fiancé at around 5 p.m. and informed him about the chaotic protest situation. The situation was so dangerous that cab drivers refused to take on passengers, which forced Misum to walk home. It was on his way home that Misum was fired upon. His friends rushed him to the hospital from the repair shop where he worked as a mechanic. His hands were still greasy from work as he lay struggling for his life in a dirty hospital bed. Misum was in excruciating pain. His body was black and blue. His eyes were puffy. Samia visited him the next day. It was 2 days before his 28th birthday, the fatal bullet that had cut through his intestines and had damaged his spine. 4 days later, Misum died from his wounds. This unjust tragedy came at a time when the couple were experiencing the happiest moments of their life. The memories of those days are all that I have left, Samia tearfully explained. The evil regime had been successful in crushing the protests and also crushing forever the lives of so many innocent young children and women who will never see the reality of their dreams come true. Their dreams of freedom and democracy ended with a stern reminder that the Islamic Republic of Iran is an iron-fisted dictatorship that forbids the exercise of free speech. Like lambs led to the slaughter, the peaceful protesters had been brutally murdered by a government intent on controlling their minds and hearts from the cradle to the grave. However, the world will never forget their cause, and I will never stop being their voice. Lambs to the slaughter, sons and daughters, tears are falling. We haven't forgotten. Lambs to the slaughter, made to order. Tears are falling. We haven't forgotten you. I want us to hear now another soundbite of the tragedy that took place a year ago in Iran.
Mike Ansari, he runs one of the largest Christian satellite channels that's beaming gospel programs into Iran 24 hours a day. Mike, great to have you back on the show. Listen, it's been more than 2 days now. The government has shut the internet service. Are you worried that this could be a threat to the safety and well-being of Iranians?
Absolutely. Much like the West, the Iranian infrastructure is based on telecommunications, which internet is a major part of that. So Iranians are communicating with each other through governmental agencies and also through companies and other ways using internet. So it is a major blow to the communication mechanism in Iran.
In fact, the U.S. High-ranking U.S. Ambassador said that the U.S. has the ability to turn the internet back on. I'm curious, what are you hearing from your sources inside the country right now? What's the mood?
We had several people call us within the last few days. They are telling us that effectively Iran has shut down all the internet and access for people to communicate with each other and with people outside. They want to keep it hushed and they want it closed and contained. We had a call from a lady named Parisa who lives in Iran, and she said that they're feeling disillusioned and hopeless. And we also had a call from a gentleman who is a Muslim background convert to Christianity, and he's saying, what is our role? Do we go and join the people outside in demonstrations as new Christians, or do we stay inside and pray for Iran? It seems that there is discontent, there is anger, there is frustration with the Iranian leaders and the economic elites.
I'm curious, as you know, Mike, protests have broken out in more than 100 cities and towns. How do you compare this latest demonstrations to previous ones, for example?
It's very, very similar. Back in 2017, we realized that there was a huge uprising across Iran, protests to Mr. Rouhani, the president, and they were economically based. People were not happy with the economic decisions that the leadership of Iran was making for Iran. They were chanting the same slogans back then that they're chanting this time, and that is basically, who cares about Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, when our own people in Iran are going hungry? So the slogans are the same as 2 years ago. It is basically a domino effect. It is this reiteration of the same line of anger and frustration today, as we saw back in 2017.
And Mike, to that very point, they're supposed to be demonstrating and protesting against petrol, gasoline prices going up. But in many instances, as you mentioned, they are actually chanting against the regime, specifically the supreme leader, right? And in fact,
Absolutely.
Burning pictures of him and so forth.
Absolutely. The supreme leader came on TV just a couple of days ago and called his own Iranian citizens that are dissatisfied with the situation, hooligans. That is a huge insult to the Iranian population that are trying to survive. They're realizing that their wealth, their money is going into exportation of Shiite Islam and its ideology to the region while they go hungry. Iran is a petroleum-producing country.
Yeah.
Therefore, it should not deprive its own population of the basic petroleum resources.
Mike, real quick, quickly, we got 30 seconds left. There's a huge report detailing Iran's extensive influence in Iraq. Real quickly, tell us about it.
Intercept published an unprecedented leak from the from secret agents that were working in Iran, indicating that Iran has had a systematic approach into Iraq and its neighbor, trying to infiltrate and trying to monopolize some of the institutions across Iraq to be to advantage of Iranian ideology, Shiite Islam, by kicking out the Christians from the region, replacing them by Shiites, and by also electing leaders that would be sympathetic towards Iran and its goals overseas. It's a major undertaking that needs much attention.
Okay, terrific. As always, Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast.
That is Mike Ansari. He works with the Underground Church in Iran, which is the largest church in the world. It's the largest, fastest-growing house church movement in the world. A year ago, but it's never forgotten. And this means a continuous war as Iranians fight for their freedom every day. It is not only a physical slaughter and a physical battle, but it is a spiritual battle as well. This is Petra, and this means war. That is Petra, and this means war. It reminds me of a passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is what my dear Iranian friends are engaged in, a spiritual warfare as well as a physical one. On the front cover of our new book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, is a picture of Puya Bakhtiari that his father took of him, standing with his arms raised in a tunnel just 2 days before his death. His story is in our book. He was only 28 years old. He loved nature. He was passionate about reading the history of his former homeland, the ancient homeland of Persia. Diary he kept, he wrote about his love for freedom. He could have, like many other Iranians, just left and escaped, but instead he remained behind to be a voice for his people. It was on November 16th that Puya went out into the streets to protest against the injustices that his people were suffering from so many decades. He uploaded videos and pictures of the protesters online, urging others to come out and to join the fight. His mother, Nahid, vividly remembers the horrifying scene where her son was shot in the head by anti-riot police. Pooya was there not to protest against the rise in gas prices, she writes, but to protest against all of the injustices that had been done to the Iranian people for more than 40 years. Nahid says, "I was busy chanting with the other protesters when suddenly I saw a flood of people racing down the boulevard where I was standing, yelling, 'I will kill whoever killed my brother.' I immediately noticed that they were carrying the body of my son, Pooya. His face was covered in blood. That is the last thing that I remember seeing. We took him immediately to Gayham Hospital in Karaj, but it was too late. He had died the instant when he was shot." Now, the body of Pooya was kept until November 20th. They wouldn't give the family the body back for 4 days. And a month later, on December 24th, the intelligence ministry raided his home without any warrants and arrested members of his household. Pooya's family, of course, had been outspoken about his unjust murder, and that brought the intelligence ministry to apprehend them, to silence them. But they won't keep quiet. They are continuing to speak out. They won't be silent. Now, the news of Pooya's death was heard around the world, and it reached the desk of the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who tweeted in solidarity for the Bakhtiari family. He wrote in a tweet, "The U.S. strongly denounces the arrest of Pooya Bakhtiari's parents and calls for their immediate release. It's time for the international community to stand together with the Iranian people and hold the regime accountable." A very sad story, but a very brave man, and his picture is on the front cover of our book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. All you need to do to be a support for my Iranian friends is to go to Amazon, Amazon.com, type in Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, Randy L. Noble, N-O-B-L-E. This is a book that will touch your heart and soul as you go back behind the Iron Curtain with my Iranian friends and experience through these stories what they go through every single day in their fight for freedom. Shout Freedom is a book that I highly recommend, not because I'm just one of the authors, but because it tells their stories. And their stories need to become our stories. And we need to have our voices raised in protest against their freedoms that are being denied every day. We need to be the voice of my dear Iranian friends. Thank you for taking this historic one-year remembrance of the bloody November uprisings here on the Cross in the Desert. Please share this on all of your Facebook pages. This Thursday, another broadcast at the time of 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you on the next episode of The Cross in the Desert.